In that mission letter tonight, that statement that Brother Graham pointed out, where he didn't want to be known as an American, he wanted to be known as a Christian. You know, there's many ways we can live to be known as a Christian. And to be a Christian, we're to be a follower of Christ. And that means that we have to be more Christ-like today than we were yesterday. And that's what I want to look at a little bit tonight. We're going to be in the book of John. We're going to be in chapter 13. But I want to look at one of Jesus' commandments to us. And it has to do with love. There was a man that showed up for a court hearing case about an accident in which he had been involved. And when he came to the court hearing case, his arm was in a cast and there were bandages all over him. And exposed parts of his body, it was clear to see he was bruised. He even had stitches. Looking rather surprised, the judge asked him about his injuries. He replied, "Judge, I'm in terrible condition. I have cuts and stitches all over me. I feel absolutely awful." And the judge said, "I don't understand this. The accident report filed by the officer says that at the time of the accident, you told him you were just fine." And he said, "Well, Judge, I was driving my pickup and pulling a trailer. And in the back of my pickup was my old dog, Shep. And in the trailer was my mule, my favorite mule. All of a sudden, an 18-wheeler sideswiped me. And before I knew it, it knocked me off the road. My pickup truck rolled over, and we ended up at the bottom of a big embankment. The next thing I remember, this police officer, he was picking his way through. And he stopped to examine my dog, Shep, or my mule. He pulled out his pistol and shot the mule between the eyes. Next, he got to where Shep was lying, and after he examined Shep, he shot old Shep too. Then he walked over to me and asked, 'How are you?' I said, 'I'm fine.' So how are you doing tonight?" The tendency is to say fine, and that's the tendency in all of us, even though you'd have to agree the world around us is falling apart. The world around us, our faith is being tolerated less and less every day in the world that we live in. Our freedoms of religion, right before our very eyes, are being taken away from us more and more every day. And you know, as Christians, as a church family, if we ever needed each other at any time more than others, the day and age we live in, we need each other. We need each other more than ever. That means that we have to love one another. That means that we have to come together. You know, it's also true that we aren't the only ones having trouble. If you look around at the world we live in, it's true. So many people have trouble in this world. I don't know if you've realized it, but I've come to see it. The economy's pretty unstable right now. The economy's pretty shaky. It's got people up in arms. Many people think they can handle a lot of the challenges alone in the world where nobody cares about them. Nobody cares. We live in a self-centered world, and it's all about me. You know, I forget the exact number. It's something like 93 million. There's 93 million selfies taken every day. 93 million selfies. I've got to get on the ball a little more. I don't take too many selfies. If I get the wrong angle, I get a glare from the sun, but we're all worried about ourselves. And that's not just the world, that's Christians. And we need to be more worried about each other. We need to be more worried about our church family. We need to learn how to love one another. You know, everyone requires a support system. Someone who will love you and be there for you when no one else will, when everything's going wrong in your world. I can look around this church right now in this auditorium, and I can point to almost everybody in here. I can count on each and every one of you when my family needs something, when things aren't right. And I'm thankful that we have a church like that. I come in this church, and there is a loving spirit. When the Lord put this message on my heart, I thought, Lord, I'm sure you know what you're doing more than I do, but this is a church that loves each other. And I thought, you know, maybe it's not that we're not loving each other. Maybe the Lord's just bringing it to our attention tonight, to remind us, to encourage us. Maybe some of us aren't where we need to be. Yesterday, as an example, I went into town, and on my way into town, I got my game face on. You have to have a game face, especially if you're heading to Walmart. But I felt on the way into town, I could tell I'll be honest with you, I didn't feel like loving anybody yesterday. I didn't want to be around people yesterday. So I had to really force myself to make sure that I showed Christ wherever I went, just because Christ wants us to love one another. So if you're in this part of John with me, John chapter 13, we're going to look at just two verses tonight, but trust me, I can make this last till 9. We're going to be in John chapter 13, verse 34. If you're able to stand for the reading, I'd ask you to do that. It reads, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." You see that? If you don't have it underlined in your Bible and you underline things, I would encourage you to underline that last part. It says that by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How do they know you're Christ-like? It says right there in verse 35, if you have love one to another. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Dear Father, Lord, as we gather together and we look at these verses in John, Father, I just pray that you don't let me get in your way tonight and that you give me the words, Lord, and that you can encourage us and edify us through this word, Lord, and let us see where in our life we need to be corrected with this love. Lord, I look forward to what you're going to do in this service. I'd lift up all the prayer requests we had tonight to you again. And again tonight, Lord, I just ask you to put your hand on Brother Loy. Help the doctors get that bleeding under control. Father, we love you. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as we come to these verses, Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew when he was dining with Judas. Earlier in the chapter, he's dining with Judas up in the great in the upper room. A very man that is really his enemy, a man that has no love for Jesus. Jesus knows what Judas is going to do. He knows Judas is going to betray him. He's in that same room with Peter, who in just a little bit, Peter is going to deny him. Not just once, but three times. Yet he knelt before them at the beginning of this chapter, and he washed their feet, showing them and us a love that goes far beyond one's worthiness. We think we know what love is, but we really don't. We have an idea from the world, and we see from the Bible. But when we look to Jesus and we see his examples of love, when he says to us in verse 34 that a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, you realize that's a pretty steep task that he's laying on our hearts right there to challenge us with. Because again, to be a Christian, we're to be more Christ-like today than we were yesterday. We're to continually be growing in Christ every day so that the world sees Christ through us. This world, like I mentioned, it's in turmoil. And there's a lot of hopelessness in this world. And there's not a lot of love. When you act nice to people, they think you got an ulterior motive, even if you are being a Christian, a true Christian, and showing love. It's fun to see people laugh again. I was at Walmart, and I may have shared this story with you maybe 2 months ago, and I pulled into my parking spot, and a gentleman pulled into one of those handicap spots where it parks the long way. And when he did, he hit the car in front of him. And I thought, oh, that'll be good. He'll stop. Well, he backs up and he hits the car again. And I thought, well, maybe he doesn't know he hit the car. So I jumped out and I said, hey, you're gonna hit that car, maybe do some damage. He jumps out of the car and says, you want me to hit you next? That's where we're at in this world. What do you do when something like that happens? How do you respond? Well, you have to remember you're an ambassador to the kingdom. So you have to compose yourself and you have to show him love. But it's hard. It's hard. I think every one of us needs to grow in the love department, if you will, as far as giving other people love. Even though Jesus said these things here in John many years ago, they're very relevant to us today. Their significance is still relevant to us today. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you." When he says, "A new commandment I give unto you," he's not suggesting, Brother Patrick, that you do this. He's not recommending, Brother Graham, that you do this. He's telling you, as a Christian, as my child, as an ambassador to the kingdom, this is a commandment. You're going to do it. This is what you need to do. If you want to be Christ-like, this is what I expect of you. That you have love unto others. That you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. What if you don't like them? What if you can't stand them? Listen, all you have to do is look to Calvary. Before we came to know Christ as our Savior, we sure didn't like Christ. We rejected him. We opposed him. When they spit on him at the cross, that's the same as you and me being there. If he can forgive us and he can show love to us, then this really shouldn't be too hard for us tonight. And he lets the disciples know here. And because it's written in his word, it's not just the disciples that he's letting know there. He's letting us know tonight that this is what he expects of you. And this is what he wants of us. And that loving others is required. It's expected. It's our obligation as a child of God. The first thing I see in verse 34 here is there's an expression. There's an expression of love. Jesus says in John 13:34 at the beginning of that verse, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." Jesus, at this point, when he's giving this, he's just a short time away from facing the cross. He's about to be crucified at this point. And since the time's running out, he's looking to spend some quality time with the disciples. He's looking to share some things with them. They shared a lot of experiences over the courses of the 3 years that they walked with Jesus. Imagine some of the things they shared. And I'm sure there are things that are not recorded in the Word of God that they would have shared. I can imagine the disagreements they might have had. Not always showing each other love. You know, I want to be first. I want to sit by Jesus. And you say, well, I don't think that happened. And we don't know if that happened because we weren't there. But come on, they're human. We're human. Have you ever wanted something that you so bad that it didn't matter what you had to do to get it? Even as a Christian, we've all been there. There's so much they could have talked about. But yet when he comes to verse 34, Jesus knew they needed one final instruction here. The time is not right for them right now to just have idle conversation, sitting around saying, oh, Peter, do you remember that time when we made that blind? No. Jesus says, this is important. There's no time for chit-chat, idle talk, none of that. He said, what I want to do is leave you with some parting advice. He said, I want to leave you with something that you're going to need. And he's putting emphasis on it. He's leaving them with this advice to help them with their lives after they're gone. Jesus is aware of the importance of love among the believers, among the brethren, the brothers and sisters in Christ, his children. He's aware of how crucial it'll be for both their spiritual growth and the spread of the gospel. You know, it's important for each and every one of us spiritually as we grow, as we mature, that we have love from the brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be encouraged. We need to be edified. In a world like we live in, it's easy to get discouraged. Listen, if I can wake up yesterday and I can feel like when I'm going into town, I've got to force myself to be attentive to the Word of God. It can happen to each and every one of us. And when we get days like that, it's nice to have a brother or sister that we can pick up the phone and just talk to and have them pray with us and know that they care about us. And it's just a wonderful thing. The disciples here are advised by Jesus to love one another. And it really is an important issue. It doesn't sound like a big deal when he says it here. But if you look at it, these men were all close. They spent a lot of time together. And each one of them with the Lord made great sacrifices. And like I said, some of them would have probably had closer bonds with each other. It's the same in a church. We all get along. We all love each other. But we all have somebody here we bond with a little more than others. We all do that. That's just human nature. We have, you know, people that we hang with that are like us. I'm still having trouble finding someone. No, I'm just kidding with you. But the other disciples, can you imagine? How about when James and John begged to sit on the right side of Jesus? Do you think that went well with the others? Like, who do they think they are? I mean, the Bible doesn't say that, but come on again. Think with human nature. I'm sure that stuff went on there. Thomas was a bit of a loner. He was prone to uncertainty. He was a pessimist, if you will. He needed encouragement. He needed love from the others. And we're called to love on each other, and it's a big challenge for us. Loving each other isn't always easy, because some days, Brother John, we're tough on each other. We really are. But we have to remember, it's not a suggestion. Jesus says in verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." Brother John, you got to love me on my worst day, and vice versa. Yeah, we do. We do got to do that. We're called to love one another, and we're all different. And when we're all different, guess what that means? Guess what that means, Brother Josiah? Your likes aren't my likes. My dislikes, Brother Patrick, aren't yours. We're different. But I don't have to like what you like. You don't have to like what I like. But we have to love one another in Christ. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. Turn to the 1 Corinthians 13 and go to verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13 and go to verse 1. We have to be willing to lay aside any differences we have and love one another. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1, it reads, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." And turn to 1 Corinthians 13, go to verse 13 in here as well. It reads, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." The greatest of these is love. He says it right there in 1 Corinthians. We have to love each other just like it says back there, no matter what. There's no question about it, even on our worst day. Pastor, you have to love me, even on my worst day. That's what the Bible says. And the next thing that I see in here is, not only is there an expression of love, but there's an expectation of love in here as well. Look at John 13:34 again with me. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." When he says this, Jesus is not speaking of something he hopes the disciples will just grasp and engage in. This is not something for them to even consider. He's giving them the last charge, if you will, before being led away to the cross. This is imperative that they follow this order. This is imperative that we follow this order as well. There's an expectation here for us that we love one another. And this isn't new to the disciples. Throughout the Bible, the disciples have been challenged concerning love. Turn over to Matthew 22 with me. Matthew chapter 22 and go to verse 37. It reads in verse 37, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." What if yesterday, when I didn't feel like loving somebody, my neighbor, what if the whole world treated me like I would have wanted to treat them? What an awful place it would be. He says in here, though, that we have to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. That means every day we wake up, we give Jesus 100% of everything. Nothing less will do for him. And on top of loving him, that's the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. Wow. That's a pretty good challenge. Because if you have ever been in Walmart, my neighbors aren't so easy to love some days. If you've ever been anywhere in public anymore, my neighbors aren't so easy to love. What about when they don't love me? Well, we just go back to John 13:34, and it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." There's no stipulation in there, Miss Evelyn. It doesn't say, well, if it's Tuesday and whatever. It just says that you love one another. John 3:16 tells us that God sent his only begotten Son. He sent him for us, to die for us, so that not one would perish. And yet, we're the ones who put him on the cross. And he still went there for us. If he can do that for us, then we can love our neighbor. In 1 John, turn to 1 John with me, chapter 3. 1 John 3, and look at verse 14 in your Bible. We know in a relationship, love is essential in our relationship to Christ. Yet, we allow bitterness and anger to hinder our love for one another more often than not. In 1 John 3:14, it reads, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Listen, we cannot be right with God nor love him if we don't love our brothers and sisters in Christ. It tells us that there. And turn over to 1 John chapter 4 and look at verse 20 with me. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?" That's some pretty strong words in our Bible. Some days it's harder reading the Bible in general when it pertains to us than it is to go through the book of Leviticus, honestly. Because it can be convicting at times like this. We're to love one another. That's the expectation that Jesus sets in there for us and for the disciples. Can you imagine when Jesus is crucified? Can you imagine what the disciples are going to be going through up to their crucifixions, up to their deaths when they're put to death? Listen, they're not. Take Paul for example. Paul did not have a luxury journey on his way to Rome. Paul was put in the jail with Silas. He still found a way to be joyful, singing praises and loving on God. But nothing was easy on those guys. Can you imagine if they did it alone? Can you imagine? It would be the same for us. The things we go through every day. Imagine going through them. Yes, we have Jesus. But what if we're still alone? What if we don't have the love from our brothers and sisters in this place? That's scary when we think about that. But what we see in the Bible, if we love God, if we're a child of God, then we should love the brethren. If we don't love the brethren, then we're a liar in our saying we love God. Because we can't love God and hate our brothers and sisters in Christ. The third thing that I see in here tonight is the example of love. At the end of John 13:34, it reads, "As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." I'll just go back and read the whole verse. But it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." This love that Jesus is speaking here, this is no ordinary love. This isn't the love that you see on what used to be the Hallmark Channel. That's changed and gone down the way, but that's another story for another day. But the love that you get in a novel or in a TV, that's not the love here. This is no ordinary love. They were commanded to love each other as he loved them. When he loved them, the Jesus that got down on his hands and knees and washed their feet, the same Jesus that went to the cross at Calvary, when he loved them, the way he loved them, we're to love. Boy, that's a big task, isn't it, church? It sounds easier. There isn't enough time to examine everything here tonight as far as what it means with Jesus' love to us in detail. But let me give you a few characteristics tonight as we look at the example of love. The love that Jesus gave and the love that he still gives is a selfless love. Jesus loves everyone, and he loved everyone, and he always will love everyone, regardless of their condition, regardless of their capacity to repay any favor. Many people today will only show compassion if it's going to benefit them. What do you get out of it? What is it? What's in it for me? Regardless, there was nothing in it for Jesus when he went to Calvary. The way he was beaten and whipped and scourged, and he still went. And he still from the cross asked for us to be forgiven. And yet we have trouble loving our neighbor some days. He had a selfless love. He also had an impartial love. His love was unbiased. He didn't demonstrate favoritism. And it always comes back to my favorite verse in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 1, where it tells us he had no respect of persons. He wasn't a respecter of persons. There's no favoritism in Jesus. He sees everybody as a lost soul at the foot of the cross. The very same vision we should see. Maybe if we started seeing everybody like that, instead of assuming that they're not saved or thinking they're saved, let's just let Jesus figure out if they are or aren't, and let's look at them as a soul and give them the love that they need, the same love that Jesus would have gave them, this selfless love, this impartial love that's here. It was also Jesus had an enduring love. He was not inconsistent when it came to love for the people. The external factors didn't inspire him whether he would love or not. Regardless of what other people did, his love persisted for them. He continued to love even when love was turned away at times. Even when people loved or rejected him or turned away from him, he still loved them and he still loves them. Jesus is like that. He has an enduring love. He has a sacrificial love, so self-sacrificing that it's difficult to think about him without thinking about the sacrificial love that he has for us. When he dealt with the huge crowds, he made time to do sacrifice. He sacrificed his time. He stopped even when he was tired. There's only one account that I remember reading in there, and he got up early and he went to pray, and the disciples came and said, hey, their people are back, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, they're back, and he said, well, we must go to the next town. And he wasn't being rude. He wasn't running from the people. It wasn't that he didn't want to help them, but he knew he knew where he had to be. But he never turned people away. He cared enough about us to stand in our place and take the punishment of God that would have been justly imposed on us for our sin. But he took it. Listen, if I have one prayer tonight for this church, and I would hope it would be the same prayer for you, I would pray that we develop the kind of love that Jesus has for us. More today than we had it yesterday. Even more tomorrow than we had it today. It should be our prayer every day to grow more like Jesus in love. Lastly, I have the evidence through love, and it's John 13:35. It reads, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Jesus knew his time had come. He's preparing to go to the cross at this point. He's knowing what's coming ahead. He would go back to the Father, and the disciples would remain. They would remain to continue working, preaching the gospel. Listen, that's what we're supposed to be doing today. We're supposed to be working, preaching the gospel. We're not supposed to be tuned into Fox News and saying, whoa, it looks like the end times. I'm pretty sure this is the end times. I'm going to get a cup of coffee in case I have to go. We're supposed to just keep going forward. There's going to be a trumpet. You're not going to miss the call if the rapture happens. And if you do, maybe you're one of the witnesses. I don't know. But listen, when that trumpet sounds, you'll know. You'll know. So just keep looking. Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep your eyes on the work. You're not going to share the gospel with others unless you love. Unless you love. How do you hate somebody or do something awful to somebody and then say, oh, hey, by the way, I almost forgot. Let me get my track out here. Can I tell you about Jesus? You're going to do more harm than good. Love would be essential. Love is essential for spreading the gospel. Love is what separates the followers of Christ from the world. By loving one another as Christ loved them, the world would see and know that they were true followers of Christ. And the world will see and know that we're true followers of Christ tonight. It goes both ways. We live in a fast-paced world. Many never take the time to notice others. We get upset when we can't get a soda at McDonald's in under 1 minute. Let alone people. People get in our way. People get in our way. I cannot tell you, I've learned so much with this leg and these feet over the last 3 years with people and their insensitivity. It's brought a new awareness to me for people with real disabilities. People don't notice anybody, and they don't care about anybody. As a Christian, that shouldn't be the case with us. We should look different than the world. We're to be separate from the world. That means the people are well, what if they make fun of me for looking like Jesus? Oh, amen. What a great thing to be insulted for. You know how many things I've been insulted for in my life that I'm not proud of them? But you want to make fun of me for being like Jesus? Amen. Thank you. We're so busy and burdened taking care of our own needs, we even as Christians fail to consider other people's needs too. And yet the world's looking for someone to show them compassion. Listen, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." If you want people to know that you're a disciple, then listen, you can't be involved in backstabbing. You can't be involved in mocking. You can't be fake. You can't be a hypocrite. You can't be lazy in your walk with God. They won't know you're his child. And you won't be able to show love if you're mocking someone. You won't be able to show love if you're backstabbing someone. Too often people who confess Christ are consumed with jealousy and selfishness and just plain meanness. I'm tired of the meanness in this world. I've never seen it at this level. I have a hard time tolerating it anymore. It's just plain outright rude. I don't care who you are in this world. Just people need love. In closing, we live in a difficult day and, you know, many struggle. Many struggle today with very difficult circumstances. We never know what someone's going through. Listen, just because someone got upset with you and maybe didn't show you a little bit of love and then they get in a car with a Jesus sticker on or something, listen, you don't know what their day entails. You don't know what their life entails. Not that that gives them the right. But again, if we love one another, why not encourage them? Why not remind them of who Jesus is? Maybe it's the thing they need to get their spirit back on track. Celeste Campbell was 14 years old and she needed a kidney transplant. And every member of her family offered to donate a kidney, but it came down to Gregory, her brother. He was a senior at St. Paul's School in New York and he had been accepted at Dartmouth. Robert Weiss, the director of the Children's Kidney Center, said of the forthcoming operation, "This is an excellent tissue match." When asked if this meant giving up his football career in the Ivy League, Gregory replied, "If I can't play, I can't play." It's a small sacrifice for what's going to happen to Celeste. Could it be said that we love others tonight as Christ loved us? Can we just give a small sacrifice for someone tonight? In order to love as Christ loves, it takes salvation because you have to experience the love first. Maybe tonight you've never experienced the salvation. But you don't have to leave here not experiencing that. Maybe tonight as a Christian, you're not where you should be as far as loving everyone. Maybe you've been feeling a little mean-spirited. Listen, we're going to have a moment of invitation here. It's a good time to get right with God. Don't let it go any further. Because God said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And then in verse 35, he reminds us tonight that if we want to claim to be a child of Christ, then it's through the love that we show that they will know we're a child of God. Do people know tonight? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, Lord, as we gather together, and Lord, we wrap up this message, Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to each and every one of our hearts, Lord. Remind us of the importance of this commandment, Lord, that you gave. The importance to look more Christ-like today, to live more Christ-like today than we did yesterday, Lord. And Lord, if we're not, Lord, just that hearts be reminded that they can seek forgiveness again from you. Lord, I love you. I look forward to what you're going to do in this moment of invitation with us tonight. Pray this all in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Appreciate the message, Brother Jeff. Amen. And that's the love of Christ for us ought to cause us to love each other. In fact, it really says we have no excuse. If he loved us enough to save us, we don't have an excuse to not love others. And but it's very easy to get caught up in your life, isn't it? And get caught up with all the things about yourself and forget. But 1 John 3:16, it's interesting that that's the verse there. But it says, "Hereby perceive we," that is, we recognize, "perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." And then he says, "And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And that's the very precept or the very concept that was taught there in John 13, 34 and 35, that because of what Christ did for us, that's why we do that for others. Amen. And lay down our lives for others, our preferences and our desires and our will. Amen.